Well, welcome to the Repod BKNA non-league football was tonight. And of course, join us tonight, Ali, not with us tonight, but look who's back. The main man, Mr. Keeper Marnie's back and looking fit and well, sir.
Once they fit, Dave, I'm sitting down. But yeah, a lot better than I have been. When you've been laying down flat on your back for 5 weeks solid and then trying to walk for another 4 months, it's been pretty tough, but getting there slowly. You mostly won't be able to see it, but I've got the game ready machine still sitting behind me that's sort of saved weeks and weeks of more recuperation as it goes.
And of course, joining us today, I was really lucky because we went down to Cornwall, me and my other half, and we went down to Cornwall for our anniversary, and we got very lucky because we managed to go down to Mousel and to see them play, and it was Clevedon, I think, you were playing on the day, and we went down to see them play, and I came back and spoke to different people and said one of the probably the most picturesque grounds I think I've been to. Lovely people. The pasties were unreal. I mean, it was just literally the whole place was fantastic. And I think the one highlight for me the whole day, and normally when you go to football grounds and you've got loads of drummers, Keith, I mean, if you go to see Mousel at any time, and it's like a complete group there. Like, do you know what I mean? It's not like just one drummer there. And the atmosphere was absolutely incredible. And I think on that day, it was about 324, was it? I think like that on the day against Clevedon. And of course, when you played, of course, on Saturday, it was what, 600 and so double that. So God knows what the episode, what the atmosphere must have been like. But standing behind the back of that goal, where I was, me and the wife were sitting, I looked at the pictures that came through on social media, and I don't think we'd have been able to see a single thing with the amount of people that would be on the back of the goal on Saturday. So it looked a fantastic atmosphere, and I was following it very, very closely, shall we say, on Twitter. I was at Leighton Orient, and my brother said to me, "Are you watching the game, or are you watching your phone?" I said, "I'm watching my phone," because I just literally kept just all I kept doing was refreshing it. And when I saw Salt Ashford were 2-0 up, I was getting a bit worried at one stage. But a massive congratulations to all of you, and of course, let me introduce everybody. So let's start with the main man first, right in the middle, of course, the chairman, Derek. So welcome, Derek.
Welcome.
And of course, to his left, or to my left, and to his left, as I look at it, of course, is Secretary Andrew. So welcome, Andrew.
Evening, all.
And of course, top right, of course, is Kevin. Of course, the Mr. Media, as we like to call him down this way. Underneath Kevin is, of course, club captain Jack. So welcome, Jack.
Thank you.
And then down at the bottom, the man that I've been keeping in close contact with, of course, is, of course, Maswell assistant manager, Adam. So welcome, Adam.
How are we doing?
And Pablo, of course, and I was there when I saw you score man of the match performance and curling one in on about the 90th minute, I think it was, on that day against Clevedon to take the 3 points. And it was a cracking goal.
That was Jack.
I thought it was yourself. I must admit, they all told me it was you.
Human.
But it was man of the match night on that day.
How many pasties did you eat, Dave, at that game?
Loads. I was told it was yourself that scored. I'll be honest with you. So I'll be honest with you. I was looking away at the time, and I did see it go flying in the top corner, and they said it was you that hit it. So there we go. But I mean, what was it like though? That those couple of days sort of leading up to it. I mean, I was keeping sort of close contact with Adam and Andrew, you know, through that the following week. And I mean, what was that like having to see, you know, sort of Ash, you jump above them? What was the nerves like, Adam, in the camp going forward from that game, knowing you just needed those sort of a couple of points to secure and be the first Cornish side into the, you know, winning the Western League since Truro?
Surprisingly, a lot better than I expected. I sort of envisaged the situation months before and thought, how would I be? I'll be honest, probably Thursday was the worst night for me. I didn't get much sleep. I was thinking about the worst outcomes as opposed to you start thinking irrationally. But then being around the lads, I was actually fine because they didn't really show any nerves. It really surprised me, even sort of Tuesday on the coach up to Bridgewater, with what was at stake, I expected boys to be nervous, but they weren't, you know, whether they're just very good actors. But they made me feel a lot more confident. I know I put on a persona and laugh and joke and pretend that nothing matters. And I think even I struggled with that one on Tuesday, but the lads were normal. So it's actually a hell of a lot better than you would expect.
Jack, I mean, what was that trip like going up to Bridgewater on that Tuesday night?
It was actually really calm. Everyone was super chilled out. So, like Fletcher, there wasn't really any nerves, I don't think. We just went up there and tried doing what we had to do. But, yeah, everyone was really chilled. So, it was nice.
And, I mean, it was one of those games, though, wasn't it, Andrew, as well? And Derek and Kevin. I mean, it was one of those games where, as well, you were, am I right, you said 2-0
down? 2-0 down in the 88th minute.
Yeah, and he did an Arsenal and managed to go. I mean, what was that like? I mean, what was the feelings like then? We must have been nervous then at 2-0 down on 88 minutes.
Well, we were looking at the stats, weren't we? We were thinking, what will we have to do on the last day and what will Saltash not have to do, et cetera, et cetera. But these guys came up with two goals in the last, 88th minute and 93rd and very, very nearly went on and won it. Fantastic.
I wasn't right in seeing the highlight. I don't think it was the Bridgewater game or the game after. It was an absolute worldie as well, wasn't there as well, in there?
Yeah, that was Andy. Yeah, 88th minute that was. That sort of sparked us to get back into the game. But I think there was kind of no pressure, but we had two stabs at it. You know, we knew whatever happened in that Bridgewater game, we would always have Saturday. We were 4 points, I think it was, 4 points clear going into that game. So we knew it would always come down to Saturday if we didn't get it done on the Tuesday, which is quite nice.
I just want to say that game, the last 15 minutes, the tempo of that game was absolutely insane. And it wasn't all about the last 2 or 3 minutes. Mousel really played some fantastic one-touch football. It was absolutely scintillating, the tempo of the game. When you think those players got on that bus at 2:30 in Penzance, it was 2:30, wasn't it? Yeah. This is like 10 o'clock at night they're putting in this. You know, it's a long time to focus, isn't it? You know, and it takes a lot out of players that traveling, you know.
And we left a bit early because of traffic worries as well, so he's made 2 stops.
Yeah. And the temp, the last 15 minutes were sensational for that game. And like Andrew said, we could have gone on and won it. And I'd just like to say, actually, the 15-year-old kid in goal for Bridgewater had a great game. What a prospect he is at 15.
Because, I mean, at the beginning of the season, who was actually favourites to go up? Because even last year, I was always hearing about Bridgewater being this, Bridgewater being that, you know, from people that had played them sort of in the Southern South. So were they the team to sort of beat in the league, you know, this season? Or was it Saltash?
Well, there was a time, Dave, when in the autumn, round about late October, November, Bridgewater were 25 points ahead of us. And they'd had a fantastic run, scored loads of goals, and we were just hoping, and everyone else was hoping, it can't last, and it didn't.
So no, what was the turnaround then, Andrew, then, to obviously to claw them points back? If you're looking at October, they're 20-odd points clear. That's obviously either a really poor start from yours, or they've just won every single game. What sort of made you start, what changed? It's more, I say to Adam, then this that sort of got you back on the rails.
We had a few injuries at the start of the season. We still had a few little COVID problems. We didn't get off to our best start. It wasn't at the time we thought that we were in a bit of a crisis. But looking back, if I was to show you like our results sheet, it's actually not that bad. We lost a couple of cup games. We had a few draws at home, and we only actually lost one game. But Bridgewater and Saltash won literally every game. I think that the first 10 games, they won 10 out of 10 and 9 out of 10. So the standard was so high by then. We actually hadn't played as many games. We had some cup games, so we were a little bit behind. And then everything started to fall into place, similar to last year, actually, in October. And I think coming into April, we'd achieved, Andrew will correct me if I'm wrong, but I think we'd gained 56 points out of the 60 available in those.
Something like that. Wow.
So it was 18 wins and 2 draws, wasn't it?
Yeah, 26 matches unbeaten.
Yeah, so that I don't want to jinx it because it's been 2 years in a row and I hope it doesn't happen again next year, but seems to be September, end of September, October is when we really get going. Same as with last year, we went on a really good run again last year. I do think the fixtures don't help us as well. And this is no disrespect to the Bristol-based teams, because there's some really strong ones up there. But the standard in Cornwall over the last couple of years has gone up so high. And the Western, I mean, the table says it all, doesn't think there's, I think every Cornish team's going to finish in the top 10. And the Western League like to, for some reason unknown to me, they like to push most of the local fixtures to the start of the season. So sort of come October, we played Falmouth twice, who have obviously gone on to do pretty well in that league. We played Saltash twice. We played Tor Point twice. So we played pretty much all of the Cornish sides twice, as opposed to likes of Bridgewater, who had played the clubs around them. But now, if you look at the league table, they're actually down, you know, further down the table. So I think that adds that has something to do with it as well. Just and the boys were great. They didn't panic. You know, I think no one really looked at a league table in September. We just thought there's no point in looking at it. Let's win a few games and then come back to it.
And I mean, sort of going into next year, I mean, I suppose the one person that's got to be probably maybe more nervous than anybody else has got to be the man still right in the middle, because Mr. Chairman, because now we're going up a step. So, you know, I mean, you know, all of a sudden now, I mean, what sort of, you know, maybe people knocking on your door saying we need a bit more money for a big, bigger plan budget and all this sort of stuff starts coming into it as well. So
everybody's hiding from me. I haven't seen any of the sponsors at the last two games. They haven't turned up. No. We've been thinking about this all season, because you have to be a season ahead of yourself. You know, when we were in step six, we were looking at step five, and in step five, looking at four. You've got to be a season ahead of yourself, looking and be ready for it. And we've got a lot of work to do at the ground to get up to step to the new ground grade in four. But the transport has gone up significantly, you know, the costs. And that went up a lot last season with the massive increase in the cost of diesel, you know. But it's going to go up again, and we know that. And, you know, we've got to reward the players because, you know, the commitment from the players with the mileage is ridiculous.
Is that something that you've got to look at for next year? Obviously, you know, it's not just the you know, I'd say the extra players you need to get, but the costs for the ground grade is quite big, and there is no sort of second chance of that. They're very strict, aren't they, that it's got to be done by sort of the end of March. And then, as we've just said, if Harrow Borough were in your league, you've got some massive expense for travelling as well, which, you know, I wouldn't say it's doubling your travelling, but you're not far off, are you?
Yeah, well, when you look at step four, you've got to take into consideration three as well, because you can go in that league and be promoted, and you've got to really... You've got to try and go for a ground grade in three if you can, or at least make provisions for that so you don't spend the money twice trying to do that work as well. But I don't know whether you know, we've been working on, we've got a new access into Trungle Park, which comes right off the main road, which will bypass the village. So it'll make so much difference to the club, and it'll open us up commercially, you know, for tourism there.
Just for a minute, you're saying that new road, Derek, that'd be a godsend, because we had a nightmare getting out on the way home.
Oh my days.
We got lost all around the town. We just keep going around and going.
It's worse than getting out of Chelsea, you know. But once that road's finished, it'll be fantastic, because it just opens it up to the community more. But you know, the road's going to cost an absolute fortune, but we are working on getting that money in at the moment, you know, and hopefully that'll be finished for not next season, but the next summer. So not this summer, for next summer for our camping project.
You know? That's good. Let's just take you back a bit, obviously, because Dave's stepping into step four already, and you still haven't finished celebrating. So, gents, tell us what that day was like that night. You know, I remember it's and obviously there's lots of clubs now all over social media showing what they've done and what time they finished the club. And well, as soon as that whistle went and you were champions, talk us through your celebrations and where it finished. And Jack and Paolo, don't worry, we don't have to go right into the bad details late at night. But you know, just for someone like Dave that's obviously not been in a change of management wise like that, just tell him. Give them a rough idea what it's like.
I think we stayed at the stayed at the club for quite a while, didn't we, Fletch? And then there was actually about 40 people that then left the club. We went to a pub just down the road from the ground.
I think we were having a very nice meal, weren't they?
Yeah,
they didn't get the message in the pub. A lot of the people having dinner that Marisol had won the league, so we gave them. Yeah, we made sure they knew about that.
No, we then left there, didn't we, and went further down into the town, and a few of the boys went into Penzance to finish off some clubbing. So
yeah,
I was training my camera on Jack for the last 3 or 4 minutes of the match. I really wanted to film him as the final whistle was blow, and he was smiling, I think, from about 4 or 5 minutes out, just this big smile on his face. Every now and then he concentrated on a tackle or something, but and then just as the whistle bent, he went down to his knees and then everyone landed on top of you. And that was it, wasn't it? The party started there.
Yeah, I mean, fairness, I know we're talking about it, but I mean, while you're talking about you filming, Kevin, I mean, your media coverage is absolutely superb. I mean, you see some of the graphics and some of the stuff that you guys use, you know, down there. I've got to give you, two hands together and give you a real good clap, because to be really honest, you have fantastic coverage from that you do for Mousel, because it was absolutely fantastic.
I'm a lecturer in journalism at the university here, and I live in Falmouth, just down the road, and I kind of wanted to be able to find something like this. I'm a big football fan, but Mousel's allowed me to sort of do what I do and also help teach the students what I'm doing as well, so it's a sort of double-edged project for me. But I learn a lot as I'm doing it. All the graphics I put together, I've kind of learned in the last couple of years. And I make a few mistakes. But our manager, Jake, is a former journalism student himself, and he's a very good sub-editor. He spots all my typos. And he's brilliant. He spots that there's not a big enough gap between the 3 and the 0 in the score, and sort of sends me a little WhatsApp message at 3 in the morning saying, could I put an extra centimetre in there, please? And that's
I mean, Jack's just said, from the players' point of view. I mean, Derek and Andrew. I mean, from yourselves. I mean, what was it like for you? For the directors and of the club. I mean, what was, all that sort of? Was it almost you wanted to just sit down in a comfy chair because it was one of those sort of things where you finally achieved what you set out to do?
It was really weird, Dave. It was like watching an event through lace curtains. It was like a dream. After the final whistle, and what I've never ever seen at this level of football is the green flares that came on and the flags. It was absolutely spectacular, and it was unreal. It was really like a film set, absolutely amazing, and it'll long live in the memory.
I've got a lovely shot. I've got a GoPro behind the goal, obviously to catch the goal, but it also caught Chris, our drummer and green flare man, sneaking under the fence at the back with these flares, running out to put them out.
Was that flare man? What a name!
Go on, Derek. Go on.
For me, it was like a relief. The season, it was like such a relief. That it was all over. It's been a long, hard season, and I just wanted the boys to win it, because I know how hard everybody has worked, and I get my kicks from that, seeing other people happy and joyous and getting the reward, and yes, like just little things like Mark Goldsworthy, he was sort of he was at Helston, and he came to us, and I don't think he ever thought he'd win a Western League winners' medal. And I mean, I just told him to if he walks into Callaway Park with it, like, do it in a dignified way, which I'm sure he will, you know. Those little things, like, make me very proud and emotional, you know.
It's good to say, I think it's also that much as we all wanted it to happen at Bridgewater or, you know, beforehand, the fact that it was the day, it was a spectacle in front of everybody, for the whole club, for our volunteers, for the fans, all the kids there, the drama of the match and then the celebrations happening on the day, you couldn't have wished for a better way for it to happen. You know, I'm really glad it didn't happen on Twitter on Thursday night.
Yeah.
And, you know, Soltash gave us that Saturday, really, which, you know, is a day of people's memory for the rest of the
league. Was the plan at the beginning of the season, Adam, sort of promotion? Was that, you know, without loads of pressure being put on you, but was that the actual sort of the goal?
Yeah. No, we had loads of pressure as well. Derek will deny it. Yeah, he told me and Jake we're being sacked if we don't get promoted. So we had a fair bit of pressure. But we have to look at it as in last year, Tavistock and Exmouth, who have obviously come into step four this year, they finished first and second. And, you know, I think with four games left, all three of us were level on points last year. So for us, we had to look at this year winning, or at the start of the season, it was winning. When the other two got off to a really good start, it was top two, and see what happens, see if there's a playoff match or whether points per game gets you promoted. But I think by Christmas, when we went on that run, we realised it, you know, in mine and Jake's mind and Andy, all the other staff, Jack, there was only one outcome really for us that would have felt like a success. I think that's why it's been such a relief to get it done, is we probably put too much pressure on ourselves. I think that's probably something we'll learn next time, is I think we all put so much pressure on it happening on ourselves as staff. I mean, I don't think it would have rubbed off on the players, but for us, really, probably wasn't even that enjoyable the last month, and it was very much relief at the end. It was almost, you know, I think a lot of the videos, I'm stood back at the end of, you know, which is very unlike me, but it's just more of a, like, just almost like weight off your shoulder, you know.
And the reaction from a lot of the committee after the game, people said stuff to me after the game. I thought it wasn't a dream, some of the things they were saying to me. And I thought, well, I've never heard that from you. I thought, I'd never heard you say that before. Blimey, she said that. I can't believe she just said that. But that's what it does to people, isn't it? It just, I suppose they just let things out, you know, because the committee works so hard. I mean, I might be chairman of the club, but Andrew Large is the headmaster of the club. You know, he works so hard. The stuff he does in the background, same as Kevin, same as Gary, you know, Nicola, Billy, the groundsman. I mean, he's a world-class guy. I mean, he's fantastic. And
well, I was going to ask you about Billy, because when we came down to see you'd play Clevedon, you know, we were wondering, we were keeping a look at quite a close eye on, you know, on social media, thinking, oh, the game could be off, because it was a bit naughty weather that sort of time. And when we got there, the pitch was incredible. You know, I mean, I heard him talking to somebody saying that they were thinking about watering it at one stage in certain places. And I'm thinking, Struth.
You know? Well, that's the West Cornwall climate for you, because the wind, you know, people joke and say, oh, Mousel have got a Premiership air dryer, because everybody thinks we're loaded, you know. Every bar I walk into, they go, here comes a millionaire, you know, and stuff like. But we don't. We're just a load of little cogs driving a massive wheel, and it really works. And the climate here, it's very wet and damp, but it can be very windy, and that wind dries the pitch out very quickly. I mean, the pitch on the, I said to George McCaffrey on Saturday, I said, you see the water on the pitch in the first half? It's unbelievable. It was like water polo. And the second half, it all gone. It pitch drains really well, you know.
Well, my wife, I think my missus fell in love with Billy's assistant.
Oh, Bobby. Yeah, yeah. He's a beauty, isn't he? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You don't know Bobby is. Bobby's actually, am I right? Is it Spaniel?
He's a cock, yeah.
Cocker Spaniel. Yeah.
And
every time Billy went to talk to somebody in the crowd, he kept nudging the ball over to try and get them to throw the ball on the pitch for him so he could chase after the ball. It was hilarious.
He does that all day. He drives you nuts.
So, gents, obviously, with the club winning the league and obviously going into step four, what would this do for the actual club itself, the community, the area? You know, what impact is that going to have?
Well, it's huge for the community. I mean, who'd have dreamt the Southern League football in West Cornwall? It's never happened before. I think people are really excited about it. And we've had, and not just the people, I think the other clubs, because people are really serious about football. You know, they want to see a clear pathway where Cornish lads can go, you know, into the Western League and the Peninsula League, Western League, and then the Southern League down here without actually going up the line, you know. So it's there for them. And it's a massive, I think it's massive for Cornwall. And it's only just sort of at this today, people have been saying stuff like to me, a woman, I walked past the hairdressers and she put her head out of the shop and she said, I did all the mascots here on Saturday. Did you like the hair? And they thought mascots having their hair cut for a game. You can't believe it, can you? But that's how excited everybody was, you know.
I think one of the wider implications is that football in Cornwall will be taken a bit more seriously than it has been. It's really a rugby county. If you look at the sports programmes, it's mostly reporting on local rugby teams. I think that will change, and it will also involve some of our fellow Cornish clubs as well, like Saltash, Falmouth, Helston, Torpoint, Millbrook. They're all going to benefit from this bounce. So I think it's bringing Cornish football out of the backwater, and I don't think a lot of people thought it was possible.
But I mean, if Saltash don't get through in the playoffs, who becomes your derby game in that Southern League? If we
Tavistock, yeah, we're really hoping Saltash make it.
It's 2 hours drive from Penzance to Tavistock, just under.
With that then, and obviously that journey, and again, it's mostly coming to you, Adam. Is this gonna make your job easier getting players? Because obviously, you know, you're at a higher level than maybe that's around you, so to attract them, or would it make it harder because one of the travelling, more time off, etc.?
I think it's probably split down the middle with that. I think there'll be some players that we will. First of all, we're going to try and keep the nucleus of the squad together. You know, everyone's going to have the opportunity that's got us to this level to try and prove themselves again next year. But, you know, it's obvious we are going to have to make some additions. And I think it will be 50-50 with that. We'll have to identify them first that they're, you know, they're capable of playing that standard. And then it comes down to, do they want to commit to it? Because, I mean, I get on the bus at 7:30 most Saturday mornings. So, you know, if some of them at the moment are getting on a bus somewhere or driving to the game at 11 o'clock, that changes everything. So can they commit to it? And I think the ones that can, I do think it will make life a little bit easier in a lot of ways because the level, they wouldn't have played the level before. And I think that's such a big selling point is to, you know, anyone ambitious, they want to test themselves where they've not tested themselves before. And hopefully it's not just us, but it may only be us in Cornwall offering them that opportunity. So, I mean, it'd be different as well if Saltash do go up and, you know, the whole club are behind them. We want them to go up. It'd be lovely to only have an hour and a half drive on Boxing Day, not 2.5 hours. But it's, you know, that might complicate things a little bit as well because there'll be two teams then trying to sort of cherry pick, I guess, the best players in Cornwall. So we'll just have to see. I mean, me and Jacob and Andy, we've spoken all week already and, you know, we've made a little short list that we're going to work our way through over the next few weeks. But we just have to see how these next few days play out with them and everyone else, really.
But I think as well, you know, Adam, it's not just about and I know you'll agree with me on this. I mean, it's been very heartwarming hearing things from our own players that are looking forward to the challenge of stepping up. And, you know, they have the natural enthusiasm to want to do that, but not improve their game as well. And I mean, I think we've got, I'm not going to name any players because it's not my area, but I think we've got players in our squad that have got more to come, you know, and in that, not just in that next league, but in the Prem, they can play better with better players around them. You know, they've got it in the locker, you know.
Yeah. But then, Derek, is this also opening up a can of worms? We say that is that obviously now your players obviously are going up into the step four, and you said maybe the shop window's bigger. So then other clubs are more attracted to look at them as well, thinking, oh, well, hold on a minute, you know, I could maybe offer them something a little bit different.
Yeah, yeah, it is a concern, you know. I think what Adam and Jake have done with the budget is incredible because, you know, I always say myself, it's not just all about money. It's not, and that goes for any profession. It's about having a special group and the desire to do well as well. And Jake and Adam and Andy have got that. There's no doubt about it. I've never seen anything like it.
We've had, Keith, in answer to that as well, we've had probably three or four of our players over the last 12 months had approaches from clubs in higher steps. And I think they aren't, and you'll see it in every interview with Jake about them, but they're not getting rich by playing for us, because by the time they've travelled twice a week to train with us, by the time they've come to a game, you know, no one's making any real money. So for them to turn down more money at higher clubs, you know, clubs in higher steps, I think we'll be okay. You know, I trust that, you know, they've stuck with us all this time. And we've stuck that, you know, it's worked well together. So I think we'll be all right. However, if we're lucky enough to go on a run in the FA Cup or the FA Trophy or whatever, it's only natural that clubs that maybe don't know about them at the moment will start looking at them again.
I mean, with Pablo and Jack, I mean, what's the travelling like for you guys? Jack and Pablo, I mean, Pablo, you go first, Bob?
Yeah, I'll go first. Yeah, the travelling, to be fair, I'm based in Penzance at the minute, so there's the only real travel I do is, of course, on the away games, travelling up to Bristol and all of that. But like I'm sure Jack can say himself, like he has to travel about, is it an hour and a half to train with of the time? So you can see the real commitment in there as well. But of course, a lot of things the guys don't see is the other teams, the other players, is the quality of training we have down here. Like Derek said, and Andrew Large, the work they do behind the scenes, as well, Fletch, I always see him, he's breathing, and he's breathing muscle, he never stops. He's always talking about the club, he's always doing things behind the scenes as well. So there's real quality and growth in this team, so it's all worth it at the end of the day.
Jack, I mean, hour and a half, whereabouts are you situated yourself?
Yeah, I live in Loo, so I'm probably about half hour from Plymouth.
Right.
Yeah, it takes me an hour and a half on a good run to get to a home game. So the away games are a little bit easier for me because I'm eating Bodmin, and then it's only a couple hours on the coach, whereas obviously all the other boys are spending 3.5-4 hours on the coach. So.
You say Bodkin, the lads that I know up at Phoenix Sports had a great FA Vars trip down to Bodkin a while ago, and they absolutely loved it. I think it's their most favourite place they've ever been to, they told me. So, but going back with the Vars, how did you get on with that this year?
Go on in, Andrew.
We got knocked out by probably the best footballing side we played this season, and that was Hartbury University at home.
Okay.
What round was that? Three or four?
League, step six. Brilliant.
The reason I ask is, Adam, when you're in a team that's sort of, you know, pushing to win a league at step five, you know, you sit there and you do at the back of your mind thinking, look, we've got a good chance of a good Vase run here and going far. But now, I mean, and this goes for Jack and Paolo as well, with the prospect to the FA Trophy, is that something that you sit there and think, cool, you know, that opens up sort of bigger clubs? I know you can get a good run in the FA Cup and pull them, but straight away you're smallest ranked club in it, and it is sort of a, you know, to say you've played in that is a massive thing as well.
But it's also a great thing to be in the later rounds and be described as the lowest placed club in the competition. That's quite an incentive, isn't it?
But and the money's better.
There are some really big clubs in steps 1 to 4 that we could meet. With a bit of luck of the draw, etc. But as you say, the prize money is considerably more than in the Vase. And that'll all help. As well as the subsidy for away travel, that's also very important.
Yeah, no, it's true.
Well, somebody said to me Sunday morning, they said, you've got the Western League now, next season, Southern League, and FA Vase, you've got to go for the Vase. And I said, what's your chances of winning that? I said, absolutely none. I said, because we're not in it. I said, no, we're in the trophy. He goes, blimey, that's real serious football, isn't it?
Yeah, it
is. This is what's going round at the moment. And I'm sure it'll pull people in for us, you know, because it's all new. It's new stuff, isn't it? You know, in the
area. Spooky away, something like that.
I was going to ask a question. I asked this question to four managers from the Central League. So the same step four Central League that are going into the playoffs on Wednesday. I had an interview with them yesterday. And I said to them, how does it feel that maybe if you get promoted into step three, you're actually one division away from playing the likes of Scunthorpe, Torquay and Yeovil? I mean, that's just incredible. When you think about it, you know, especially people of my sort of age thinking to yourself, well, you know, Torquay sort of a league side and Scunthorpe was a league side. Yeovil were in the Championship not so long ago. And now all of a sudden you could be one division away from playing teams like that. I mean, that's just mad.
Mm. Yeah, it is.
Dave, I can answer it because I've done it, as you know, and we laughed. When we got promoted to step three, it was like, what is our club doing here? You know, it's an absolute joke. You know, just to let you know, we're getting average gates of like 150 and we're playing in step three. And, you know, our wage bill was, I remember, I think, was it either our second or third game? It was United. All of a sudden, our gate went up to 1,200. 70 of them were ours. And then we went away to Dulwich Hamlet for 2,500. And we were just sitting there. My committee were going, what's going on? What's just happened? It is scary, and you'll be like that next year, where a good run, you're only that, you know, they're all that close.
So, I mean, with the ground grading, I mean, is that do you see that as being, you know, just almost a tick box exercise, or is there a lot of work to be done to actually get the financing and get the work done, you know, to actually tick that box for the ground grading?
In my opinion, it's huge. It's a huge, huge, huge thing. It's probably the biggest challenge the club has ever faced. Yeah. So, yes, the finance on the one side, but on the other side, the FA have changed the criteria, haven't they? So that you have to meet all the step four requirements by the end of March in your first year at step four. So basically we're starting, well, we started several weeks ago without being presumptuous. You know, thinking we would be in the Southern League, we thought we can't afford to waste time. So we've done a lot of research into what's required. And we've got a big meeting tomorrow afternoon where we're going to go and measure everything. So we know that the players' dressing rooms have got to be 18 square metres. I don't think we actually know for certain whether what they are. But if they're less than 18 square metres...
If they made it smaller than Andrew?
Sorry?
Have they made it smaller than this year? Because I thought it was 21 square metres they had to be.
18, I read.
18,
yeah. Right. I won't worry you then.
86.
But, I mean, there's big implications if they're not 18 square metres. We've either got to knock the home and away dressing rooms into one and create a separate building for the away dressing room, or we've got to think about having two completely separate porter cabin type dressing rooms for both home and away. And that's where all the finance will get eaten up very, very quickly.
I think you could be right there. If you do a new build, they have to be bigger than 18 square feet.
All right.
So if it's a new construction, you know, a standalone, from footings, a proper new build, that you have to make them bigger. Yeah. Yeah.
We also, Andrew, that you're right. The ground grading thing is pretty brutal, because it's not like it. Well, if you don't get it done, sort of, you can't get promoted. If you don't get it done, they relegate you as well, don't they? Which they've done in the past with sides. The only thing that it does open up a little bit more, though, is the funding you can receive for step four is a hell of a lot more than what you could get at step five, isn't it?
Oh yes, yeah. And of course, the club has got to add to the funding, because the funding's not 100%. It's 50% for some items and 70% for others. So you've got to ask the question, if something costs X and you only get 70% of it, you've got to find 30% of the balance from somewhere.
Do you need more seats? Have you contacted Wembley to take some of this?
No, they'd sold out.
They were all taken. Nice.
I had a fisherman with a lorry.
We need 100 more seats covered.
I had a fisherman go into London with a load of fish. I said, can you call into Wembley and pick me up the seats and bring them back in this fish wagon? And he said, they sold out, unfortunately.
Well, yeah. Derek, there's a few slippery eels at Wembley, trust me. I'm not that popular with the FA, so it doesn't matter. Yeah, well, Sandra, if you said you said you were blue at, you know, also a bit of a blue at Everton, they might have some seats you can have before they go to the new stadium.
Yeah, they might do. Yeah, yeah.
Especially if they get relegated.
Well, they might do. Who knows? You don't know, do you? It's never happened, has it?
But then again, no. I mean, I think if I'm right in saying that Waltham Abbey, they've actually got some of the main road, or they took some of the Manchester City from main road seats into their ground. But when it comes to, I don't know if you've actually received dates or anything, and I suppose one question I should ask, I suppose, ask Kevin. I'm not sure who does your Twitter, if it's yourself that does the Twitter or if it's Andrew that does the Twitter. I know there was a post went out today from you guys saying, come on, make it official, Southern League, and follow us in the on Twitter. Did they do it?
I haven't looked yet. It's actually our Twitter feeds run from Holland, from Netherlands.
Right, okay.
So
I was just interested if they'd actually physically done it or not. But with the invites and stuff, of course, going into Summer League AGM-wise, that's going to be some travel for you, isn't it? Warwickshire?
Is that where they are?
Yeah.
You know, just Dave should know. He presents them.
Yeah, I actually do. I do all the presenting of the stuff. So yeah, of the night. So yeah, it's a fair old journey for me, let alone for you guys.
Yeah. Whereabouts in Warwickshire is it?
It's just outside Oxford.
All right. Yeah.
That sort of area. Yeah, just past Oxford.
The good thing is, though, gents, you're still celebrating, so it doesn't matter where it is.
Exactly.
But I would say to you, because I asked the question the other day about step five sides coming up into step four, and do they come to the meal and that in the evening? And I've been told you get an invite, and it's entirely up to you whether you go on the actual stay for the night or not. My recommendation is yes, because it is a great night. It is probably one of the
When is it?
The 17th of June.
Oh, maybe
that's something. Dave, if I'm right, if it's anything like the Eastern League, I thought they have to go anyway, because you've got to be at the AGM the next morning, haven't you?
So the AGM's before the AGM's.
Oh, they do it before in the Southern, yeah?
And then they get the option of if they want to stay or not. So they get the option, step five, get the option to stay or not. But it's a great night. So if you do get that option, I would say, yeah, definitely stay, because it's a real good chance for you to be able to sort of get some communication with the other teams in the leagues and do you know what I mean? And get sort of those contacts as well, which will be really, really good as well. But that will be good. But I mean, Jack,
we'll be there.
Yeah. Jack, are you looking forward to next year?
Uh,
You and Pablo are playing wise.
Yeah, I can't wait.
Is there sides that you're really looking forward to taking on? I mean, what's the sort of sides you're looking to take on? I mean, would Stolin be somebody you'd like to take on if they don't make it up for the playoffs?
Yeah, definitely. But Biddeford was one of them. But unfortunately, they got Salt Ash in the promotion. Is it the playoff game, sorry?
Yeah, I think they've got them all Bristol Manor Farm, isn't it? I think it's one or the other, I think.
Yeah, so I was looking forward to playing them. But Tavi and Exmouth, obviously. They're the other two. Yeah, mainly Biddeford.
Well, now you're actually going to be playing at step four, Jack. And obviously, again, Dave, because he does everything, does the goals of the week and all that. Let's hope he knows it's you that scored the weldy and then not Pablo, yeah? So when he puts it up on the screen and he does the highlights, now he knows it's you. Let's see if, you know, he don't get that wrong.
Hopefully he doesn't.
There was a story, and I was going to ask you guys this, because I saw it sort of posted the other day. I'm literally just trying to pull it up. But there was a story from one of the sides in the Summer League South, which is Hamworthy United. So I'm not sure how far away that is from yourselves or not. But there was actually a statement come up that they're, and I can't remember exactly why the reason is, but they're not actually playing their semi-final at home at Hamworthy. They've got to play it somewhere else, and they've ended up going to have to play at Dorchester.
It's because their stand's condemned.
Mm. Which is a weird thing when you think they've been playing on that ground all year, and now all of a sudden, because it's in the playoffs, I mean, Keith might know different, why that would be make any difference between what they would normally do during the season and now happening in the playoffs, why they've got to go to Dorchester. Keith? I think Keith might have frozen.